Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. Well, it's good to be back with everyone, and I know we're in the middle of winter now, and but the days are beautiful. Haven't you found that the days are beautiful? The mornings are cold, the evenings are cold, but the days are wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for opportunity to come under your word, and we really do ask that, Lord, that you would speak to us, and you encourage us. Your word brings truth, and as your truth comes, Lord, we pray, thank you for the liberty and the depth of bringing us into maturity in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the mandates on the church is not just to be born again and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, where a lot of people get to that place and they never develop. And it's like if you raise children, you bring children into your home, and God's blessed you with children, but then they remain children for their lives and they still run around with nappies. That's a sad indictment to parents, and it's a sad indictment to children. And it's the same in the church. As we are children of God. God never intended us to remain babes. He expects us to grow into maturity. So a lot of the time, God puts in the place of the church, he puts teachers, he puts facilities that we can grow. But then a lot of responsibility depends on ourselves. We must have a desire to grow into the depth of understanding what God has actually given us, and want to mature. So this thing we teach, and God brings understanding, and the problem with that, sometimes the world gets to a place where we come to have a lot of knowledge, but we don't have a lot of practical outworking. And I really do believe is that as God has been teaching us over this last while, especially as we've been, the topic that we've been looking at, partnering with the Holy Spirit, and even now we continue to preach into spiritual gifts, there's something that you've got to do yourself. So you can hear all this information, you can hear all this wonderful truths that are in the scripture, but if you don't make it yours, it's just going to be knowledge. I really believe the Lord at this time wants to bring the church to a place of maturity and to work together with God the Holy Spirit. And that takes work from your side to say, Lord, okay, this is what you're saying in your word, this is what you're instructing us, how can I grow in that? And we're developing through the equipping in Christ, we're doing that. But even here on a Sunday morning, as we're important to you, I'm presenting things to you by the Holy Spirit, but you need to take hold of it and you need to apply it to your life. You know, we can get education, but it's only in the practical application that we see the manifestation of what the life comes through it. And I know the Holy Spirit wants to use us. I want to make a statement to you. The world is in trouble. And God's answer to the world is not a politician. It's not money. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent. The Lord said, wait till you receive power on high. And the Holy Spirit was sent. And we have got to do everything in our power as we live in Christ and we honor Christ. We've got to work with God, the Holy Spirit, to do what he wants to do in this earth. God has still got a plan for this earth. And you know, so often we've been taught it's about us. And Jesus said, deny self, take up your cross and follow me. And I want to just say, in this time when things are getting difficult, and I know we want, in a sense, we want things to all work out for ourselves, but I want to say we've got to get up and start working what God has called us to do. Time is short, folk. I really do believe it. You know, Quentin and Rhett were just been traveling overseas in Europe. I've been up into Central Africa. And as you walk out of this country, the world is going through great difficulties. And you know, and as much as we're going through difficulties, God wants us to rise up and to be an answer to them. And I really believe the facilitation of working with God, the Holy Spirit, is an answer. The early church followed the Lord by the Holy Spirit. And I was just preaching in Africa and just saying is that the New Testament wasn't given to the early church in the book of Acts. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but they never had any of the New Testament scriptures to actually outwork and follow. So they were led by the Spirit of God. And I want to just say is that in a sense, we've got to get back to basics. And so often we, all of us, are comfortable. We've got our routine. We've got our homes. We've got our plan for our life. But I want to just say we need to, in a sense, abandon those things and say we belong to a king who wants to bring his kingdom, and he wants to outwork that. And some of those things is the tools he puts in our hands. And these things are these spiritual gifts that he has given us. And I really believe God wants to not only impart to us, but he wants it to be a practical application. And that's dependent upon you and I individually to work with him, allow him to work through us. So I'd like you to turn into the text that we've been using, to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 14. I want to read that again to you and then just bring some understanding in the context of the meeting of the saints and how do we work some of these things out. And then I really want to get practical at the end and just trust God to bring some impartation in our context. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 14. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that not one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to other the interpretation of tongues. But for one and the same Spirit works all of these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So that context of here, we're talking about the body of Christ, that the gifting has been given to the body of Christ to be the outworking of glorifying Christ and bringing the kingdom of God. But behind that, I want to just go and look at 1 Corinthians 14, verses 18 to 25, that when we get together, because I really believe the manifestation of these giftings actually works out in our meetings, and we need to contend for that. It's not something that we get into the mode that we come into a meeting and we just expect things to be given, because that's entertainment. And the body of Christ gets together like we do in the morning, that yes, we get instructed, but you're not to be entertained. We are to participate in what we're doing. We participate in worship. We participate even in the word. We take hold of this thing. We bring it in. We trust God for revelation. We trust for renewal to our minds, but also that we can give. And this is the very important part. The gifts are given for giving. So I want to just read from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 18 to 25, just how the outworking of this actually works in the church. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, which means the assembly of the saints, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the Lord is written, by people of strange tongues and by lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, and even they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign for unbelievers, not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, they will say that you are out of your minds. But if all prophecy and unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. And then verse 26, it says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each has a hymn. You hear what it says? A hymn, it's a song, has a lesson, some teaching, a revelation, tongue, or interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If anyone speak in a tongue, let it be only two or three at most. Each in turn, let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, each one of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For all can prophesy one by one, so all men may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So what happened in the Corinthian church is there was an exuberance that they took hold of these spiritual gifts and they weren't conservative. They were, in a sense, flamboyant. They were running with the things of the Spirit, and it was chaos. It was confusion because they were running all over the place. And yeah, Paul comes and he says, no, I want you to bring us some understanding in these things. The outworking of the Spirit is speaking in tongues, but remember, it's not necessary for the assembly. If they're speaking in tongues, there needs to be interpretation. And that's an important thing. So we can be worshiping God in our tongue, but when there's an expression in the meeting, there needs to be interpretation of that. And then also too, when the words of prophecy comes, there needs to be order and not just everyone running all over the place prophesying. The reality there should be two or three, and every prophecy that is received should be weighed. It should be judged to see that it is of God. And then the spirits of the prophets also, in a sense, need to be subjected to the authority in the church. And I think that's very clear that the modern church has run away from this thing. They've run away from the order where the Spirit of God is actually moving in the meetings, and there's an outworking. And I want to encourage you, and as I'm going to go through these things, we've got to see more of this dimension in our gathering together, not only just here on a Sunday morning, but whenever we gather together, when we have a time of prayer, the Spirit of God is speaking all the time. And the Scripture says very clearly that we should all prophesy. Do you know that? That's incredible. That's the ability to prophesy by the Holy Spirit is for every single one of us. And I really want to encourage you. I've just seen in my own personal life is that aspect of working together with God, the Holy Spirit, to be used prophetically is very, very powerfully. And you can be either be led by Scripture, but the leading of the Spirit of God in that area, it brings people to understand God. God always wants to speak. And God needs to speak through us. And if we don't speak, what do we see in the Scriptures? He spoke through a donkey. Can you believe that? He spoke through a donkey. And we're not donkeys, but God wants to use us. But I think that place of humility and to say, Lord, here I am, use me. I want to just say God can use you very powerfully. Now, maybe you've received some of these things and it's dormant within you. And I want to encourage you is that we got to stir up the gift of God that is within us and release these things. And I know it takes time to work these things out, but I want to just say as we allow God to do these things in our lives, you will grow into a sense of maturity and be used. Now, the Scripture does warn us that where there's been excess of these things, that God is not pleased with it. But he's also on the other side when it's dormant. I really believe he's not pleased with us. And this has been given to the church. And the church, I don't know what she's doing with it. And I want to just encourage us as the church, what are we doing with these gifts that the Spirit of God? Yes, it is the Spirit wills, but we need to be going forward with him. So just in summary, before we get into the details, what I want to do, we discussed the discerning of spirits. And I think that's a very important one of working out what is that. And we discussed that about 2-3 weeks ago. And then we went through the gift of faith. What is the gift of faith and the outworking of that? And I want to just say, as we go into the context of the world that we're living at the moment, I really do believe the Lord needs to manifest the gift of faith. There are things that we need to do by the Spirit that needs to be an outworking, not just by natural. The natural way is that if you've got enough money, you can do these things. If you've got enough people, you can do these things. But when God speaks and gives that direction, we do it by faith. And I believe even as we go into more and more the life that we lead, we're going to have to see more and more of the Spirit outworking in these things. But the third one that we read about was the gift of working of miracles. This is the supernatural power of God working in our lives. I know we look today and we seemingly don't see these miracles outworked as much. But I wanted to say, if we make ourselves available, God wants to do that. He did that in the Old Testament. He did that with Elisha and Elijah. We see the manifestation of the Spirit, the power of God actually working in. But even in the New Testament, we see Jesus also. He manifested the miracle-working power of God where he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000. He took the loaves and he took the bread and he manifested that. And I believe with food security that has come in, God's got to do that. As we pray for the food, God's going to manifest and he's going to be provided. I've heard of stories in Zimbabwe when they went through those really difficult times when they had the crash. I think it was 2008. Ian and Bernie Whedon, I don't know if you even know them. They live in Nelspruit now, but they were in Zimbabwe, in Harare at that time. God miraculously filled that coffee jar. Their Nescafe, can you believe it? Nescafe never got less. There was always enough Nescafe. And when things sort of opened up and there were supply lines of those things, it disappeared. The coffee disappeared. God miraculously provided. I've been in times where you maybe just get together with a group of friends and especially church, and you pray and you know there's not enough food in front of you. I've been one time we were sitting, there was this small little cake, and there were so many of us at the life group, and we prayed. I don't know, it fed everyone, and there's still enough cake on the table, but you couldn't see it in front of your eyes. It was a miracle that took place. And I want to just say, God wants to do those things. It's not always the norm. But I want to just say, you serve a supernatural working God. Not that we manipulate God in any way. He wants to do these miracles in our lives. One of the miracles that we don't like, which just seems the adverse, when we see the account in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, about Ananias and Sapphira, where the church got together to provide for the needs, and where they lied to the Holy Spirit. There was a divine judgment that came, and Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead because they were lying to the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the converse of what can take place. You see, we so often think that our God is not mighty and all-powerful and that he's not sovereign. And I want to just say these things are coming. We see with Herod, even then, he thought himself as a god. He fell down dead and the worms ate him. I believe those times are coming where the Lord said he's going to pour out his Spirit and the sovereignty of Almighty God. We're going to start to see these things. But I want to just say, some of you in your context, I don't know the details of your lives, and we trust in you. We need to see miracles coming through into your thing. And God wants to perform those things. Not that we manipulate him in any way. God wants to be glorified. And I do believe that it's not only a season, but it's a time for God to do these miracles in and through us. But if we don't put our faith out, we're never going to do that. The Lord Jesus himself, he said, "What have you got? Give to me." And the little boy gave the loaves and the fish, and there was a multiplication, there was a gift. And what we give to God, I want to just say there are times coming that you're going to see this actually happen. One of the stories, we were doing a missionary trip up into Kigoma in Tanzania. And the route that we had to travel on the western side of Tanzania. And we thought it was a good road, but it eventually became a dirt track. It was a two paths, and we had two 4x4s and trailers. And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and the road was impassable. It was like a rock face that we had to go up. So we managed to get the first vehicle up with the trailer up the rock face to the other side. But then the other vehicle that we tried to get up, there were two tracks. There was a donga in the middle, a donga to the right and to the left, and we were all out trying to push. And this vehicle was falling into this donga with the trailer, and if it actually happened, we would have been stuck there for days. And we cried out to the Lord, and we said, "Lord, you've got to help us." And literally, we were stuck in mud. Literally, the vehicle went, popped out onto the tracks and went up this rock face. That was a miracle, that God can do those things when we call upon his name. So So often in our lives, we don't need those things, but God does those things. You know, I think I've shared it before, and forgive me if I have. The lady that we've just been in Bujumbura with, Dina, they lived in a little shack behind the church in built up Bujumbura. And the only way she could have means is to provide for her family. She had a little restaurant at lunchtime, but they cook on open fires. And they don't have wash basins like we are, and they can throw waste water away. So there's a little gully that runs into a hidden gully in the street. So you couldn't go into the street to throw your wastewater. But there was a disagreement between her neighbor about throwing this wastewater. So the neighbor said, no, you cannot throw your wastewater away. So she said, Lord, you've got to help. So she was clearing her ash away from a little cooking fire, and all of a sudden there was a little hole that was in the ground. So she took a cup with her wastewater and she started to pour the water into this hole, and the water disappeared. And for 6 months, while that relationship was broken with the lady next door, she was taking her wastewater and continued her business, throwing down. Eventually, the neighbor came and said, now let's make peace and let's get into agreement. So they reconciled, and she said, no, you can throw your water away again. As soon as that happened, she went the next day to go and throw the water down the hole. The hole was closed. So God provides in an incredible way, the miraculous in everything. And I don't underestimate the wonder of our God, that he wants to work miracles even in our lives. The next one is the gifts of healing. And the scripture says very clearly is that it's the gifts. It's not the gift, it's the gifts. And I do believe is that God is a healer. He supernaturally heals. He's there to destroy the power of disease and sickness. He did that on the cross. I know we contend, and I'm not against medical science and human learning, but I really do believe we need to trust God first in this thing. Now, the gifts are given, and as I've been reading about this, there are a number of gifts that are given. Some people have gifts to pray for certain things. You know, some people you can say that they pray for people that are women are barren, and they pray and God heals the womb and things happen. Others pray for ailments on legs and stuff like that. But generally, there are specific gifts, and we don't always know what they are, but we must trust. When the Holy Spirit wants to give his gift, he can bring that. How does it administered? It's administered by faith. We believe for that gift. Jesus, it says in the scriptures, that the power of God was available to bring healing. And then he laid hands and he did many things, led by the Spirit of God, anointed and spoke the word, and healing came. I know this is a contentious issue, the gifts of healing. And I know we're fighting many things. We're even fighting in the life of this church. We're trusting God to manifest healing. And God is sovereign in this thing. But we cannot throw this thing away. We need to stand at this time. I think even our medical science is really going to degrees that we don't understand. We still need to trust God. Man cannot heal everything. God is still the healer, and we need to be trusting in this thing. In Jesus' ministry, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it tells us that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Yeah, Jesus went healing, and we see the Lord, he had a spirit without measure. The Spirit actually moved with him so powerfully, but he went around, and the testimony of the kingdom of God was healing. And I wanted to say is that God has enabled us, as we work together with the Holy Spirit, to enable us to bring his gift of healing to not only to our friends and our neighbors, but to the nations. Healing is a key aspect, and I know the evil one will try and dispel it, and the people of the world will say this God of yours doesn't heal. But I wanted to say, hang on to what the word says, that the Holy Spirit will actually bring healings through us. So there's two aspects that you can receive your healing by trusting the word of God, but then there's also the manifestation as where others pray for you, that the Spirit of God comes and brings healing to those. So I want to just say, as you are led by the Spirit of God, we can trust the Word of God to pray for others. We can stand on the Word that by His stripes we have been healed, and we proclaim that Word. But there is a time when the Holy Spirit comes, and there's the power of God that is evident, and we can lay hands on the sick, and God will bring healing into those circumstances. I want to just encourage us is that When you get ill, don't run to the Lord. Don't run to the doctors first. Go to God. Get others to pray for you. The Bible even says is anyone sick of you, call the elders. And the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. We've got to get back to the biblical pattern of what is here. We run in like the world. We trust in our medical aids. We trust in medication. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm just saying God has placed us in his kingdom. And we need to call on first his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So is that a tussle? Yes, because to work the kingdom of God is an aspect of faith. And you've got to work the faith in God's word. And I want to encourage us, let's do it God's way. Let's not run and do the according to the world. And I really believe that as we contend for this, we will begin to see God bring healing to others. When last did you go lay hands on the sick? The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's in Mark 16. And I want to encourage you, that's the mandate, and you've been empowered to do that. And don't be surprised when God actually uses you into doing those things. So whether it's your family members, whether it be your work colleagues, whether it be those that you where you're shopping, wherever you find yourself, let's trust God to do those things. Does it work every time? It doesn't always work for me every time, but I want to say, Lord, I want to trust your word. What your word says, and to be doing that. And I think if we continue to have a testimony of that, not that we're going to be surprised, but God will honor his word as you trust him and go forward in that. Okay, the next one is the gift of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, to another the working word, to another prophecy. And as I said earlier, prophecy is a vital part. It's for upbuilding the church. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, he who prophesies, edifies, exhorts, and comforts men. And it's one of the most important inspirational gifts that we need to the church. And you see here over the years, we've collected the prophetic word that has come over the church to encourage us. And I want to just say, you need a prophetic word from the Lord, and you need to give a prophetic word from the Lord, because there's nothing like, yes, we've got the scripture and we hold on to the word of God and we receive the revelation of the word. But when God directly speaks to you individually and uses another individual to encourage you, to exhort you, it is very, very powerful. It's very, very powerful. I remember those early days, I just recommitted my heart to the Lord, and there was an elderly lady that was standing there. And she came and said to me prophetically, you'll be a minister. I was a young man at that time, and I knew my career that I was going to be doing, and I knew what was where I was going, and I thought, no, this is not for me. But the reality, that was God speaking, and that took a number of years before that became an absolute reality. But she was speaking prophetically into those circumstances, what God was saying. And God has said things about you. You've received prophetic words. You've received scriptures. Don't throw those things away. Honestly, don't throw those things away. God's word is true. He works out to perform his word that is spoken of you. Be very wise that you don't just accept anything that's been spoken over you, because many people have been hurt and been burnt where people abuse the gift of prophecy, and they've spoken over people's lives, and they come and they say some stupid things like, you're going to marry this person. And then it ends up in absolute tragedy that people do that, because they're not discerning and not working out the leading of the Holy Spirit in those things. So prophecy is a key thing. And I really, from my point of view and from the elders' perspective, I really want to encourage us that we need to grow in this outworking of the prophetic. And there's many different expressions, and we've had prophetic weekends where people have come in here. We don't want to make it the main thing, but I want to just say is God has a prophetic voice. And a lot of the times where we see Jesus and the way he preached, I really don't believe he prepared to the extent that we prepared, but it was just the Father speaking through him by the Holy Spirit, bringing the word out. And that is prophetic. God speaks prophetically into the future and brings the utterance that can bring encouragement. And I want to just say that needs to be an outworking in our lives. What is happening in the world? There's an abuse. We see with the outworking of witchcraft and especially in our society and right up into Africa, when people didn't know what to do, what did they do? They consulted the witch doctor or the fortune teller, and they went to them and they told them the future. And that's, in a sense, that's the counterfeit prophecy that is taking place. And that is still happening today, is that people are taking that principle and they run into the church, and prophecy is being abused. I see up in Africa, especially in West Africa, that men are calling themselves prophets, and you want to hear something and I will prophesy, and you will come and pay, they come and pay for it. That is never what God intended to happen in the church, but the prophetic word needs to be spoken into the church. And I want to encourage you, God may even want to use you. And even in these times, it says the Spirit of God will lead us into all truth, and the prophetic word will come. And I just know that we need to encourage, as much as we've got the Word of God to encourage us, we need God to speak to us personally. I know in my personal life, I try and practice this, that God speaks prophetically first to me. I don't rely so much on other people, but then when I speak to my Father and I ask Him to speak, I trust for Him to actually write it down myself, as I believe the Spirit of God is speaking through me to speak and to inspire me. And sometimes when I examine that, because you always examine it against the Word of God, and you allow Him to see whether this is right or wrong. And for at times when I look at it and I read it again, and it's profound, because when God does speak, He speaks very clearly and very openly. So I want to just say, very, very important, we need to grow in this area of expressing the gifts. As I said earlier, is that when there's confusion and when the evil one comes in, it quenches the Holy Spirit, and this doesn't bring the outworking and bringing the life of God coming through. So I've come to a very practical point in the message now, and I want to just ask a question, and this is not something to condemn you or point finger you, but the Bible says we need to all prophesy, that all of us will prophesy. I've gone through the scripture, I've just forgotten where it is now. And I want to pray for you, if you do prophesy, that your faith would grow in the expression of that. If you don't prophesy, I really want to trust God that God will begin to use you in that area. And it might be to bring a scripture, but to bring a word, and as you allow God to use you, I'm telling you now, you will build the church. You'll bring encouragement, you'll bring edification, and that's where the church actually needs. Again, I say, when we come together, this is not a place of entertainment, but this is a place where we all contribute, one as a hymn, one as a lesson, one as something to give. And I want to just say, there's a key thing. And where do you start? You start by believing, and you start to express those things. I know when I've really believed, so I said, Lord, I want to really be used in this area. I was a bungbrook. I couldn't do this thing, because these things of the Spirit are not natural. And I remember what I used to do. I was sitting in our bathroom, and then I'd talk to myself in the mirror, and I would practice. And I'll say, Lord, you need to give me a word, and I would speak to myself, and I'd be surprised. And even, we haven't got to it yet, but tongues is interpretation. We speak with a tongue and trust God for interpretation. We will do that the next time I preach, to see the expression of that. So you've got to stir up the gifts within you. I can pray for you, but you've got to stir up, and you've got a level of faith. You've got a measure of faith, and then you've got to say, Lord, here I am, use me. And I want to just say, God wants to encourage every single one of you. It might not be in the flow of a Sunday morning meeting, but it may be for a family member, it may be for a work colleague. You'll be absolutely surprised how God actually works. And remember what it does. It doesn't bring condemnation. It's not always bringing direction. Direction comes through prophets. That's the office of a prophet. The gift of prophecy is to bring edification, encouragement, exhortation to the church. And we need that. In this time, we all need to be encouraged and exhorted. And the Spirit of God wants to use you to do that. And we're not cutting that door down in any way. When we gather together, we want to facilitate and we want to encourage you. Please come and bring what the Spirit of God is saying to you. But if you come and you're not prepared to be used by God, you fold in your arms, and I want to encourage you, we don't want that. We want you to be released into what God has to come into that place of maturity in Him. Amen. So I don't know how many of you operate in with the gift of prophecy. If you don't want to just raise your hand, I'm not pointing fingers. Okay. There's a few of you. Okay. I want to pray for all of you that you would actually operate in this thing. But now you must believe. You must believe that God wants to use you. Then you need to go and practice it. Because as I pray, we believe. And once we believe, we've received. And the things of the Spirit are that simple. It's not a matter of feelings or experience or goosebumps or anything like that. You believe that you received it. Then there's a desire within your heart to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And you'll be surprised how God will begin to use you in dimensions and understanding that you've never operated in. You know, you might even be used to bring, through the prophecy, a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge to be able to be outworked in people's lives. And I'm telling you, that is a very profound thing that takes place. And I'm encouraging you and I'm encouraging myself. So are you ready to receive? Amen. Let's put our hands up to the Lord as He's the one that outworks us. And Lord, as you've said, you want all of us to prophesy. Father, I just bring every one of your people before you. And Lord, we just see the outworking of the New Testament church where she needs to work together with you, Holy Spirit, and to bring this whole area of exhortation, edification, encouragement. And Lord, we see it's through your gift of the prophetic. And Father, I just really ask that everyone opens up their hearts and receives by faith. Lord, I want to release that impartation of the gift of prophecy over this family, those here this morning and those online that I've come to receive. And Lord, I just release that in the name and the authority of the name of Jesus, not from me, but from you. And then I ask for the wisdom. And I pray for the faith that, Lord, as this outworking of this gift is nurtured, that it will be released, and that, Lord, that it will be worked to bring glory to your name. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I release the outworking of the gift of prophecy over us as a family, Lord, not only in the context of our gathering together as the saints, but in our context, in our families, in our work environments. And I pray as that gift is stirred up, Lord, there would be a supernatural manifestation. I pray for a boldness upon us, Father, a boldness to express that. It was so evident in the early church, in the church in Corinth. But I pray, Lord, where it's maybe been dormant here, we just open up that now, Lord, and we release, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we just release the outworking of this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, stir up the gift of God that's within you. The Bible says very clearly, we can become dormant. The devil likes us not to operate in the Spirit. He will try and bring the counterfeit, but his best tactic is to get us to be conservative. The best tactic is us to become dormant, that we just come to receive and that we're not operating in the Spirit of God. And I want to just say the Holy Spirit is so keen to work with us. And I want to just say he's a wonderful leader and Lord. And if you just make yourself available to him and you work in your relationship with him, incredible how the Spirit of God will actually begin to flow in your life. None of us have arrived. We're all on a path of growing, every single one of us. And all of us at the degree that we have, we must go by faith. And God wants to take us into things. So the church needs you to operate with the Holy Spirit. The world needs you to do this. And we've got to be a light on the top of the hill. And I wanted to say one of the key aspects, if we work together with the Holy Spirit, he'll begin to use you in dimensions that you've never experienced before. So I encourage you, but I also challenge you. Don't be dormant when working with the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. I'm going to hand over to Quinton. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.